Welcome to the Journey of Wholeness podcast. We are a group of passionate individuals who are coaches and mentors here to help inspire, guide, and support you on your journey of wholeness. We know that the journey of wholeness is a lifelong pursuit, and we are thrilled to join you in your journey. We are passionate about sharing our life lessons, wisdom, and knowledge to help you to transform your life. We focus on teaching principles of truth, supporting you in applying those truths, and helping you to live a life full of joy.
Hello, and welcome to the Journey of Wholeness podcast. I am Heather Crockett, and I'm here with Jackie Alderete. Hello. And we are really excited.
Yes, we are. What are we excited about?
We're excited about life. Well, and about the podcast. This is one of the things I've decided. I didn't used to think I would enjoy doing podcasts, but I actually really love recording podcasts. It's become something I quite enjoy.
Cool. What is it about them that you love?
I think it's the ability to share the things that are in my heart that God places in my heart, literally with the world.
Yeah.
Like, and it's free for everybody that might need
it. Right.
It's a pretty cool experience, actually.
It has been a really cool experience to have a place where we can share our thoughts and our resources and the things that have helped to change and transform our lives to help bless other people's lives. I love hearing the stories that come back from people as they have listened to different podcast episodes, and they tell us, you know, in personal ways, like how important or how powerful a certain principle was to help them change their lives. And they're just continually thinking about it, and it's just kind of molding in their mind. And in our world, right? Like we often use the analogy of, like a garden, right? Like our mind is like a garden or a field, an empty field. And whatever we plant in there is what grows. And so if you plant a corn seed, you're going to get corn, assuming that you nourish and water it. And if there's weed seeds in there, then you're going to get weeds, you know, or things that are less desirable. I'm cautious with the word weed, because a lot of times we as humans say that's a weed, but in reality, it actually can be medicinal. But anyway, but yeah, like whatever we focus on is what grows, and whatever we nourish is growing. And so it's really neat to see that principle in action in our lives, as well as in other people's lives, as we're sharing stories and resources and trainings and tips and things that have helped us along in our journey. That's what I've loved about it.
Absolutely. I love that you brought up focus. That's been on my mind so much lately. The analogy of the garden, I remember years and years ago, when I first started to understand that, I remember I was talking with one of my mentors, Dave MacArthur, and he was talking about, you know, if you have this patch of ground, and if you don't do anything with it, you know, weeds will come up. However, I was applying this in my life physically with my flower bed. I had all this empty space in there, and I was constantly fighting weeds. And so I started planting plants on purpose. And guess what? There was no room there for weeds to come up. And it was just so beautiful. And I started applying that with my thoughts, because our mind is a garden. And if we don't plant things in there, something has to grow. It's called the law of the vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. There can't be empty space. And so with our minds, when we purposefully and intentionally plant good things there and then focus on that, that's what grows, and that's what we get more of in our lives. And we were talking the other day, Jackie, about all these different sayings that we'd heard, like, for example, what you focus on, you find. Rod Harrison, one of my other mentors, he has a book called Are You Up for the Challenge? And he's the one that taught me a lot about the law of focus. And you and I were talking about this. And you were saying, like, when you think of focus, you think of like concentrating, right?
Right. My attention span. Exactly. Like, how long can I focus on something?
Yeah. So this is actually the law of focus is different than that. With the law of focus, it's what you focus on, you find. What you focus on grows. What you focus on, What you focus on, you find. What you focus on grows. What you focus on seems real. And what you focus on, ultimately, you become. And it doesn't have to be this active, conscious, concentrated energy of focus. But it's like, what? Okay, so for our listeners today, just take a minute and think about what it is that you naturally see throughout your day. What is it that you've been thinking about recently? Whether it was just, you know, a fleeting thought or whether you've spent a lot of time on that. I'll give an example from my life. So I remember a time in my life when I was struggling severely with anxiety. And I realized that in the back of my mind all the time were running these thoughts of the things that I was afraid of. All these fears were just rolling through my mind all the time. And I would find proof and evidence to back that up because our brain does that. Our brain automatically looks for proof and evidence. However, once I became aware of this and conscious of this, I was able to start changing. And this, it took concentrated effort at first, but I was able to start changing my focus. And so I started focusing on the opposite. And all of a sudden, well, it wasn't all of a sudden, it was a process, but after several weeks, the anxiety started to go away. And it's been the same way with so many other things in my life. So when we were talking about wholeness and being like a safe and secure place for ourselves, right? So for me, if I'm talking about the law of focus with myself, if I'm focusing on or aware of or thinking of negative faults, how I didn't know what the heck we were going to be talking about when we first started today, how I couldn't remember something, or anything that is like, that I could use to beat myself up on not being quote unquote perfect, right? If that's where my attention is going, because one of our other sayings is where your attention goes, that thing grows, right?
Exactly.
And yeah, it's right in alignment with the law of focus. Anyways, but if that's what I'm thinking about, I'm going to create more experiences in my life to prove those thoughts right. And so instead now for myself, I am thinking of the things that I've done well, the things that I do right in, you know, in what I feel is in alignment with myself is my definition of right. And what is in alignment with what God wants. And as I start doing that, it completely changes my outlook. And so my focus shifts from, it's like if you're looking at a spoon, one side's rounded, the other side is concave, right? So you've got, your image is going to be distorted and flipped no matter how you look at it. But one way it's distorted in a completely opposite way than if you flip the spoon around and all of a sudden it looks different. And it's the same thing. I'm still the same person. However, I'm just choosing to look at different aspects. I'm looking at my spoon differently and everything changes. All of a sudden, I'm happier. I'm more at peace with myself. Things just line up a whole lot easier for me. And honestly, and it's not that I don't have stress in my life, but life is less stressful. Because I'm looking at things differently. And that law of focus has shifted everything in my life. And the law of focus then activates the law of attraction into our lives. So whatever attracting into my life, it starts with the law of focus.
Yeah, right. And it creates more of that thing. I love when we were kind of preparing to talk about this, like we did talk about, oh, I think it'd be so great to like collaborate and like find all those cute little quirky phrases that we say just in everyday life that you and I have said to ourselves, to our kids, that we've heard in this, this transformational personal development world for all these years. And we've mentioned a couple of them, right? So we said, what you focus on grows. What did you just say just a minute ago? Like what you, I don't know. Anyway, I think it would be really cool to really collaborate and synthesize all of those. So it's like all in one place, right? These are the phrases that we say over and over again to help us to remember this principle in our lives, because it's true. Like whatever you focus on grows, where your attention goes is what grows, right? That's another fun little catchy phrase. I love that we just built those into our conversation today. So as you were talking, I actually would love for you to slow down those four phrases that you helped us to understand, right, from your mentor about this law of focus. So if you would slowly go through those again, just so that our listeners have a little bit more time to like synthesize that, to take that in, to like breathe through it, right? Because that was a little quick if that's the first time you've ever heard that. So let's do that. And then I have some other thoughts to share.
Absolutely. And before I do that, I was reminded of another saying. Cool. And this comes from Bob Proctor. And it's when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I'm sure he wasn't the first person. He probably got that from Napoleon Hill or somebody. I can't remember where that quote originated. I just remember learning it from him. But yeah, that's one of the things that my kids, they can be, my son was really upset recently about something. And I reminded him, I said, Jack, remember, when you change the way you look at things, he goes, the things you look at change. I was like, great. So, you know, here's an opportunity for you. You don't like this experience right now. And I totally get it. So you can continue to look at the negative aspects of it, or you can change the way you look at it. And that's like the flipping the spoon around analogy. So when you change the way, we'll start with that one and then we'll go back through the four points of the law of focus. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Okay, here's a great example. My good friend Carrie, she used to only like blue skies. If there was a single cloud in the sky, she would be so grumpy about it. And she's like, oh, there's a cloud marring the perfectly blue sky. And if it was like really cloudy out, she was just like, this is awful. Well, she changed the way she looked at it. And now she's like, that's an amazing cloud. Look at that. Like the contrast is beautiful. Look at how billowy it is. And it's taken her effort, right, to change the way she saw it. But because of the work she did, she now finds beauty in every kind of weather situation. And it's just been a really cool process to watch her grow through that. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. I'm going to take that one a little bit deeper. And let's talk about relationships. So there's a quote from Thomas S. Monson, and he says, see men not as they are, but as they may become. And that just lines right up with that. So on a personal note, with my husband, there was something that used to drive me nuts that he would do. And then I remembered that quote, to see men not as they are, but as they may become. And I'm like, okay. And I really took it to the Lord in prayer. I was like, please help me. I don't want to be annoyed with my husband. Like I want to feel loving, good feelings towards him. And anyhow, God completely helped me to change the way I looked at that. All of a sudden I went, oh, this thing that was so annoying to me, all of a sudden I was like, oh, that's just a little quirk. And I started focusing on the things that I was so grateful for. Like whenever he would do something that I loved, I focused on that instead of the little quirk that was annoying to me before. And guess what? That little quirk is gone. He doesn't even do it anymore. It was a tool there to help bring this up for me to work on myself, to change the way I looked at things. And the things that I looked at changed. My husband literally changed. But it wasn't because I was like, you've got to stop doing this. Like that was counterproductive. So, cause he wasn't even aware. And it was such a little tiny thing. Anyhow, but now because I changed the way I looked at it, the way I looked at him, those things changed. And more importantly, it changed my heart. I changed. Okay, so let's go back to law of focus. So what you focus on, you find. I have an example coming to mind, and I'm like, well, okay, we'll just keep it anonymous. So I have a friend right now who the last year, she's had a lot of really hard trials. The last 6 months though, it's been really, really intense. And I noticed this when I was having a conversation with her the other day. She's like, the paramedics seem to know my family really well right now, because this happened and then this happened and then this happened. And it was so interesting to me because I realized, and she wasn't doing it on purpose, like those were just experiences she's had, but it was like she was literally waiting for the other shoe to drop. Which I want at some point for you to address that with Brené Brown, and when she talks about vulnerability and waiting for the other shoe to drop. For right now though, we're gonna stay focused on the law of focus. She was finding all of these things with the paramedics. And so anytime you hear a siren, she's like, oh, and everyone automatically thinks, oh, are they going to their house? So what you focus on, you find. Let's take that for a positive spin now. Okay, we have in our brains what's called the reticular activation system. There are so many different experiences and thoughts and sights and sounds coming at us all day long, that so that we don't get overwhelmed, the RAS is like, what's important? That's what I'm going to look for.
Oftentimes it is focused, unless you learn these skills to train your brain. It's often focused on keeping us very much alive. Like it's in the fight or flight. Like, I mean, even emotionally, right? When people start, I mean, for my life lessons and stuff, like criticism is like death for my nervous system. So when I even notice somebody's face start crunching up and I'm like, you know, my brain just like recognizes that as like hyper alert space, right? So like even emotional, it's not just physical threats to our survival and our well-being and things, but that's its job. It's to filter out all the stuff that's just background noise and to focus on the things that will help you stay alive and that will avoid certain death, including emotions. So that's its purpose, right? And so that's exactly how you're describing it. It's like it's filtering and sorting out all this information.
Yeah. And it's amazing what it does. So I'm going to give you guys a little homework here to just play with this. So an example is like, we have a certain color. It's a tannish goldish color vehicle. And I'd not seen another one like it in our area. After I bought one, guess what? There's another one in our town, but I had never seen it like the next town over. So whenever I'm driving back and forth, now I see that van, but I never saw it or recognized that it was there before mine because it didn't matter. My husband, he really likes Teslas. And so he like will pick them out. He'll see them from half a mile away. Oh, there's a Tesla, you know? And now because of that, my RAS is like, oh, this must matter. It must be important.
So I have a cool story to share to, I think, articulate this principle really beautifully. This actually happened just today. Heather and I were in a separate conversation that was not being recorded, and she was on a walk and she was just exploring and enjoying nature. Sorry, Heather, I'm putting you on the spot, but this just happened literally today. And I just heard this tone in her voice. She got so excited and she's like, "Oh, there's a butterfly." And so she was really excited about this butterfly. And butterflies are beautiful. I love butterflies too, right? She just got really excited about this butterfly. And the coolest thing popped out of her mouth because like this excitement was rising as she saw this butterfly. And then she's like, "Oh, it's a love note from God." It was such a cute thing because I'm like, this is a perfect illustration of this principle, right? It's like Heather she's trained herself to tell herself that butterflies are a sign that God loves her. And so when she sees a butterfly, she like is flooded with this love and this connection with divine source, right? From God. And what a beautiful way to implement this and to like change that focus and that reticular activator system, right? It's like, I see a butterfly, that equals God's love. And yeah. That doesn't mean you have to do that as a listener, right? Like you, but hear that story and find what is in your life that maybe could set, that you could change from like, "Oh, it's just a butterfly, that's cool," to, "Oh my gosh, that's a sign that God loves me," you know, for example. To like implement and to upgrade your thinking.
It's absolutely perfect. I actually was thinking about that. I was like, I should tell the butterfly story. I love that you did. And that's what I want to invite everyone to do today. It could be a butterfly. It could be anything that you want it to be. But just like, choose one thing that makes you happy. It could be a purple flower. It could be whatever it is. One thing though, and just think about that. I have a friend that did that with a mosquito, and it was the middle of winter, but guess what? They went to, they were in a sporting goods store, and all of a sudden they're seeing all these mosquitoes because it was like bug repellent, you know? They would not have noticed the mosquitoes except for the fact that they had chosen to focus on a mosquito that day. In the middle of winter, they're like, "We're not going to see any mosquitoes." Well, guess what? They did, because their RAS went to work and said, "I'm going to find a mosquito." So choose something today. And if you want to take this to the next level, like choose something. For me, it's a love note from God. Like things that I know, like when I see a butterfly, there are certain things that I know that bring me joy. And I'm like, God loves me. He created this and put this in my path for me today, for me to be reminded that He loves me. So anyway, so that would be my encouragement for you today, is to find one thing to focus on. You don't have to think about it all day long. Just get it in your mind, and then it's going to go into your subconscious. And then when you do find it, like, you'll be like, "Oh," and then you can make a connection with it. What you focus on, you find. What you focus on grows. The more you do this, the more it's going to happen. So for example, my friend that has been getting to know the paramedics really well, it started with something really, really minor. And it's grown and grown and grown and progressed to bigger things. Thankfully, like, they're all okay. However, like, the things have progressed and what we focus on grows. So my butterfly experience, it used to just be that I like butterflies. They're beautiful. And this was a little teeny tiny yellow butterfly in February, like just flitted literally right in front of my path. I was Marco Poloing Jackie at the time. I was not paying attention, but because I've noticed them so often, it was out of the corner of my eye, I got the glimpse and my full attention went to it. It grew. What I focus on grows. It became the center of my attention, the center of my focus. I'm going to tell you guys a whole bunch about all my mentors today. So David T.S. Wood taught me this. I'll never forget. He was standing on stage and he had a big piece of like a big notebook, one of the really giant ones that presenters use sometimes on stage, on an easel. And he drew in the middle a black dot, like a big old black dot. But then there's a ton of white space around it. And he walked up to it and put his face, like he smashed his face up against it. And he's like, all I can see is the problem. This is the problem. This big black dot. I need white paper to write on. All I can see is this problem of this big black dot. Because he smashed his face up against the paper. It grew because he was focused on it so much. He goes, when you back up, the problem shrinks and fades. Look, I have all this white paper I can write on now. And so it's the same, like if we're focused on a problem in our lives, it grows and grows until all of a sudden it's like all consuming. The same is true for good things. When we focus on God's love in our life, it grows and grows and grows until it's all consuming. When we focus on friendship, all of a sudden we have more friendship. When we focus on the good and the beautiful things in life, we have more of it. It's true for no matter what it is, like that. It's that's why it's a law, and it's really beautiful. Okay, did you want to say anything before I move on to the next one? Okay, so what you focus on, you find; what you focus on grows, and then the third one is what you focus on seems real. So years ago, okay, this is like a really, this is a really vulnerable story. Years ago, I was working in another business and I was trying to figure out a way to grow my business. And I really genuinely wanted to help people. So I was in a Facebook group. I was like, hey, you know, if you're struggling with, you know, XYZ, let's get on this phone call and I'll see if I can help you, you know, if I have solutions to help you. Anyways, at the end of one of these phone calls, the woman that I was talking to chewed me out up one side, down the other, and then spit me out again. She told me how like I was a horrible person, that I was manipulative, that I was taking advantage of people. All these horrible, horrible things that she was saying. I got off the phone with her and I apologized profusely. I was like, that was not my intention. Anyways, we finally, as you know, the phone call ended, I got off the phone. I remember I never had felt shame so intense that I actually thought I might die until that moment. I remember laying on the floor, feeling like I was being pressed down upon through the floor. Like I couldn't even hardly breathe. I was sobbing and I was in this fetal position. And I actually, for a moment, the weight was so intense and great, I actually thought I might die. And it seemed so real. Like that's who I had become. And I was, after getting to a point where I was able to like be coherent enough in my thoughts that I could pray, I just started praying for God to help me through that. And that it started, it eventually it eased up and I just laid there exhausted in this fetal position for a while. And I had an opportunity right then where I could take all those horrible things that she had said about me and allow it to become my identity, or I could do the work to turn it over to God. It was a painful process, like unburying all the, it's like weeding. Let's go to the garden analogy. You have to rip the weeds out, you pull them out. So I was having to unroot all these things that she had said that had caused all this shame to take root in me. And I did this painful process of tearing those out and handing them over to God. And it, let me tell you, it was real in my life. It was so real that experience was. And I could have chosen to stay in that, which in some ways is so much easier because it doesn't require the work of pulling everything out. And it can be a painful process. But I didn't want to live like that because it literally, I felt like I was going to die. And so I did the work to change that. And I worked on changing my focus. I kept my focus on God and on knowing that I was doing what He wanted me to do. And I was, my intentions had been pure and good. I just wanted to help. So what we focus on seems real. So when I focus on whether it's good or bad, here's another really cool story. Christopher Columbus, when he first landed in South America, it was in the Caribbean islands. The native people there could not see his ship at first. It was the chief was standing at the shore and noticed the waves were different because the waves were hitting the ship that were, you know, they were a ways off still, but could be easily seen from shore. But they had never seen a ship like this, so it wasn't, it couldn't have been real because they literally could not see it until he realized the waves were different. And he understood the pattern of the waves enough that he was able to look up and see. And all of a sudden he could then see the ship and it became real, but it has to be like, it had to be understood first. Anyways, does that make sense, Jackie?
Oh yeah. I've heard that story before and I think it's a powerful example of how the brain works, right? In a people that, like, we can look back in history and be like, oh, okay. I mean, from our vantage point, like, of course the ship is real, you know, but like when you literally never had access to something like that, the brain doesn't know how to recognize it as something real. And so it's easy to see in that kind of an example, give us perspective to look back in history and be like, oh, that's how that works, right? And rather than in our own lives, sometimes it's really difficult to look at that pattern in our own lives and be like, no, of course I can see things. No, we really can't. Like our brain is still the same as their brain in that story, you know, like there's things in our life. Like Heather told us the story, and this has happened to me too, like all of us, but you buy a certain color car and then you start seeing that car everywhere. Right. She told us her story of that. And it's the same function. It's the exact same thing as the native people on the shore not being able to see the boat, right? It's like our brain filters out all of this stuff. And so anyway, yes, that's a powerful story. And I just want to honor the vulnerability that you shared in that first story that you had, because that's incredibly crushing, right? And as I was hearing you share that story, I was like, oh my goodness, how powerful that you had enough conscious awareness in this intensely shaming moment when you literally felt like your soul was being crushed to death. In my words, that's how I would describe what you shared with us. But you had enough conscious awareness to see that there were these toxic seeds being spread through your garden. And you had enough awareness to say, whoa, this may have taken root already, or it's connected to something that's already rooted in me. But I don't want the long-term consequences of this thing growing inside of me. So I will do the work right now to weed, because we know in a garden, if we don't pull out the weeds when they're little, oh my gosh, it's much harder and so much more difficult to do it when they're big. The roots have gone deep. They're messing up all the things, you know, and yeah, it's much easier to pull them out when it's little, but you have to have enough conscious awareness and foresight to pull it out. And I also, just intuitively, as you were telling that story, I've had this thought a couple of times while we've been having this conversation today. And I just, what I want to say is, if you as a listener are hearing these stories and you're in a space where you may be feeling like what Heather described in that like soul crushing shame space, or maybe as she shared her story about her husband and And how this one little quirky thing was driving her crazy, right, at some point in her past. And she decided to change her focus and change that through a process that she took to God. And things changed for her, right? But I've also been in a space where, like, there was so much intense negativity that, like, in Heather's other story, when she got reamed by this person that she was on the phone call with, and it really intensely impacted her. Basically, what's going on from a nervous system perspective, from a biological body, mind, heart, spirit, everything inside of us in those moments, that's trauma. And if you are in a space of trauma, I just want to honor you, not to keep you in that space, not to keep you in that victim-y space, but to honor the struggle and the trauma and the difficulty of where you're at right now. But I also want to hold space for you and recognizing and helping you to recognize that things can change. There's always hope. There's always potential for change and to better and empower our lives and to grow and to get stronger. And that may look like a tiniest baby step for you right now, especially if you're in a space of trauma. I look back at the times when I've been in spaces of trauma and I'm like, whoa, you know, if somebody was sitting here telling me like, change your thoughts, I've been like my brain would have kicked that out. Cause like literally my reticular activator system, that filter in my brain that we've been talking about today, wouldn't have been able to see the solution, which is like Columbus's boat on the water, right? Like I was like the native people on the ocean, on the shore. And I'm like, no, that's not a possibility, you know? And so just recognize this is how our brain functions. And if you're in a space of intense trauma, there are people to help you, like find those people. And that's an intense space. And sometimes all you need is just a baby step forward, but there is hope for moving forward and changing. So I just wanted to honor that as Heather shared that story, because that could be a little triggering for some people if they've been through something similar or slightly different story, right? But still triggering for them. So I just wanted to honor that trauma that we all experienced to one degree or another.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I've looked back, even just in that experience, but times of trauma in my life, honestly, it was like finding that one sliver of light and focusing on that. And so for me, it was focusing on God and like, just help me to breathe. Just help me to breathe. Like, but when I put my focus on Him, it, even though it seemed impossible, He was able to help bring me out of the trauma. And in every time I've been in that, it's when I'm able to get to a place where I can choose to turn to Him, to focus on God instead of focusing on the trauma itself, that is what helps pull me out. Yeah. It takes effort.
It does. And you've said that many times, right? Like this work takes effort. And I definitely wanted to focus on that. I wrote it down. I'm like, we need to talk about that, right? Because you've shared many stories and it's like, this takes effort. It's not an overnight process. We have to keep literally focusing on these things for it to change, right? And like when we're in a difficult space or a dark space or disconnected space from God, it takes effort to connect, it takes effort to pull Him into the center of our lives, to focus on His light and His goodness and all of that beauty that comes as we focus on that. But it's an effortful process. And that it's just part of how the natural universal laws are that govern our existence here. Like effort is required. And so we can't sit on the couch eating potato chips and watching your favorite TV show and hope to be able to have a supermodel body, you know, like if those two things don't coexist together, like you have to put in effort to start changing things. And so just wanted to highlight that as we keep talking.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. Yeah. And the effort is worth it. 100%. 100%. Okay. So the last one is, and this goes ties right into it, what we focus on, we become. Like mm-hmm. what we ultimately we become. So I've seen this on both sides of the spectrum. So I've had a lot of health issues in my life. And when I focused on those health issues, when that was all I could see, know, basically I was in my trauma at the time. When that's all I could see, I stayed sick. I actually got sicker, more sick, sicker, either and or both.
Right.
So what we focus on, ultimately we become. When I started focusing on, like, even in that space of trauma, and 100%, I really credit God with all of this, because it was Him and it was His spirit that was like, okay, think about this. And so He would like bring me a butterfly, or He'd bring me something good to focus on, or I'd have a friend that would call me or show up, just good things. And then I started to feel better, and I eventually got better every time, you know? And so what we focus on, ultimately we become. When in the scriptures, God says that His ways are higher than our ways and that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. For me, my ultimate desire is to become like Him. And so that means I need to focus my thoughts on higher things. For that reason, like, I don't watch the news. I don't do things on social media. And if I do, it's very intentional. Just because I'm very careful about the things that I choose to read and watch and listen to. If I want to become like Him, I want to focus on things that bring the fruits of the Spirit. Which, if you want to know what the fruits of the Spirit are, you can go look it up in the Bible. It's beautiful.
Galatians chapter 5.
Yes, thank you.
I think it's verse 22 and 23.
Something like that. Galatians 5. Chapter 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit. So when I started, and this was several years ago, that I had an experience realizing the path that I was on was not bringing me joy. And I started focusing on the fruits of the Spirit. And so if there was something in my life that wasn't bringing the fruits of the Spirit, I was like, okay, I don't want to focus on that anymore. I'm going to change my focus. Because what we focus on, ultimately we become, and I want to become the happiest, healthiest version of me that is humanly possible. So
that
helped in breaking down.
Yes, I think that was very powerful and very helpful, especially as we talked about stories and examples and you know, how it's impacted our lives. And I could add some things too, but that was very beautiful. Perfect. So a couple of other things I think that I just wanted to focus on, just some notes that I was taking as we've been talking today, that I just wanted to highlight, and then we'll just see where we're at and then maybe wrap this up for today. But I really kept hearing this principle as you were talking, Heather, about different aspects of things, but it wasn't fully focused, right? And so I wanted to bring this principle up to the surface because it is fully in alignment with what we're talking about. But here at the Journey of Wholeness, we really are intentionally trying to teach people how to consciously move their lives from a space of fear, from a fear focus, to a space of love. Consciously and powerfully, and to tell people to change from fear to love. And there's a lot of things that go along with that, but there's really only two universal forces in this world, right? Fear and love, dark and light, right? Like, there's these dichotomies, these things that are contrary. And we know, based on how beautifully Heather just described this law of focus for us and broke those four stages down, or four aspects of the law focus to us. Think about this. And maybe as you're thinking about this, like, take inventory of your own personal life, right? And you're like, whoa, like 80% of my life is focused on fear because I'm always in anxiety and I'm always worried about this and that and all these things. There's not enough time. There's not enough this. There's like, it's scarcity focused and, you know. So maybe just take inventory, like, how much of your life, what percentage of your life really truly is focused on fear? And this can be a little bit of a painful, raw exercise just to take inventory, right? I have to do this all on a regular basis just to check in and just to see where I'm at and like keep bringing myself back to, oh gosh, there's that fear again. It's showing up. And because the thing is with with fear as well as with love, with this garden analogy that we keep coming back to and planting seeds, and what we focus on grows and all these beautiful things. If we plant seeds of love, you harvest love down the road. But if we plant seeds of fear, which most of us do, because that's the major frequency, that's the major thinking, that's the major programming here on planet Earth, is fear. It's scarcity, it's lack, it's all the things that are focused on, you know, being hurt and protecting ourselves. And we'll jump into vulnerability in just one second, but right, it's like disconnecting and like, whoa, that's scary, I can't do that, you know. That's where most of us have lived, and we are here to help people wake up, right, to like learn the skills to plant seeds of love, because the more that we do that, the more love seeds we can harvest, and it's so joyful. And so it starts with something like Heather with her butterfly, with that story, right? It's like, find, with her beautiful, powerful invitation of, find one thing today that helps you to feel loved and focus on it, right? And like implement these things that we've been teaching with you today. So I just wanted to highlight that. And Heather, do you have any thoughts about that?
No, I think that's perfect. You know, it's so amazing when we think about it. The more we focus on the good and the positive and the beautiful, the more we see of that in our lives, the more we experience of that. And it literally changes our vibration. Everything has a vibrational frequency and energy. And fear is very, very, very low, and love is the highest. And when we are focused on those things that are in alignment with love, it changes our vibrational frequency. We attract things that vibrate at that same level to us. So it grows and expands, and eventually, like, think of changing the world. Like, everyone has the ability to influence and impact the entire world, simply by what they choose to focus on. It's like, if you've heard the story of, there's two wolves, you know, which wolf are you going to feed? That's what's going to grow. Anyways, yeah, I think it's really, really incredible when we think that everybody has the ability to impact and change the world simply by what they choose to focus on.
Yeah. So powerful. So powerful. Thank you. I think the last thing, just because you asked me just to touch base on the vulnerability thing and that concept of, like the other shoe dropping, right? That's a phrase that we use in our world. When you're kind of bracing yourself for a loss or an impact or a negative thing that could be coming. So just some interesting background and history to that phrase of waiting for the other shoe to drop. I didn't know this until I got exposed to Brené Brown's work, and she actually shared the history behind that story. And she said that it was back in, I think it was in England, it was like in the early 1900s, like when the Industrial Revolution was happening. And a lot of fathers were going off to the factories to work very long, hard hours, right? And they were just barely making enough to, another phrase that we use, like to bring home the bacon, literally, because like they would, you know, go and buy the meat and bring home bacon, right, to feed their family. So just a funny context with that. But so I think that's where this time of the history of the world is where this phrase came, because these people were living in such poor conditions, and they had very little money and everything. And so they would get home at night, and all these people were living in really, like the walls of these apartments and things, the buildings that they were living in were very, very thin. And so literally the father, the husband, the man would come home from work, take off his work boots, you know, and wherever he was taking them off. And you, as the downstairs neighbor or whoever, you would literally wait for the other shoe of your neighbor to drop before you're like, okay, like things can get settled now, because you know that they're home, like they're not going to be dropping any more boots. And that's kind of the background of where this phrase came, but it's kind of emerged into the space of like, whoa, I'm waiting for the next negative thing to hit me. And that's how we use that phrase, right? But Brené uses that to describe that in terms of understanding vulnerability, right? Because when we are constantly searching and waiting for the next negative thing to happen, AKA the boot to drop, then that's what we're focusing on. And that's really what we were teaching today. And especially as we were talking about the brain and how it's here to help us to stay alive, like vulnerability is an interesting emotion to discuss. Brené Brown has literally studied vulnerability for like 20 plus years, done extensive research and understanding and many, many, many interviews to understand vulnerability. And so she's a phenomenal resource if you want to understand more about vulnerability. But from the many things that I've learned from her to synthesize this in my own words, I would describe vulnerability as like our brain's way of keeping us safe from the other shoe dropping, you know, from that phrase, right? Of like that negative thing or getting yelled at, or, you know, like you, Heather, with your story, right? Of like, whoa. But if we live life from a space of like expecting a bear to come around every corner and to attack us, then that's what we're going to focus on. And that's what we're going to find. And that's what we're going to become. We're not going to be very happy individuals. And we're going to be constantly living a space of protection, from a space of protection, I should say. Like, we're always going to be, and Brené talks about this in her research, where we put on this suit of armor and we armor up. We take it into the workplace. We take it into our relationships. We take it with, I mean, we wear it all the time with ourselves. And so vulnerability, because we're scared of being hurt and that other shoe dropping, as humans, we don't know how to deal with that trauma that comes when we are hurt and feeling those feelings. Oftentimes we don't know how to deal with that trauma on our own. We armor up so that we can protect ourselves, because it's our brain's way. It's literally our functionality of our brain to like, whoa, I need to stay protected from that pain. And so we keep people at a distance, right? We don't let people in, or we become really negative and vicious. And maybe that's what this lady was doing. Maybe that was how her armor showed up, right? Where she just attacked like intense. She was that bear for you. So that's kind of the negative side of vulnerability. But as Brené has helped us to learn, vulnerability is this two-sided emotion that helps us to also feel all of the good feelings. Like, vulnerability is the birthplace of all positive and negative things that we experience in life. And when we armor up, like, we wall off our ability to be vulnerable. And it's this tricky space, because we have to learn how to honor vulnerability and yet also learn how to not let people in that are going to tear you apart, you know? So it's like, it's the space of learning how to have healthy boundaries and honoring the soul's need for vulnerability, because we do still experience negative things. And yet we can't experience love, joy, peace, all the positive things without honoring that space of vulnerability inside of us. And so, yes, the shoe drops. There's always going to be another shoe that will drop in this life. But if we're waiting for it and expecting it and just honing in on it, like we've talked about today, that's all we're going to focus on. That's all we're going to see. It's going to become the problem. That's what we're going to become. And if we can honor and own into that space, lean into that space that we need to be healthy, safe, secure humans, we have to honor vulnerability as a part of this journey. So.
For sure. Thank you for sharing that. It's finding joy. Like you said, things happen because we live in this mortal existence. So yes, things happen. It's what we focus on in the interim though. And even in the middle of it, what do we want to become? How do we want to feel? How do we want to be? Put your focus on those things. And that changes everything. I will say, we were talking about, I love universal laws and I love studying and learning about them. And I shared with Jackie the other day that this understanding the law of focus has probably been the most transformational things. Like, this universal law has been my foundational building block for changing my life. And it's powerful. It's powerful. We've been talking for like an hour and I'm like, I could probably talk for another three just on this. However, for today, I think that that's a wrap.
Yes. Good.
I am really grateful for everyone that's joined us on the journey so far. And just a reminder that there is joy in the journey.
Thank you for joining us today.
From our hearts to yours, thank you for joining us today on this episode of the Journey of Wholeness podcast. We are so grateful for you. We believe in you. If you'd love more of this great content, please consider subscribing. We'd love to support you even further by you joining our Facebook group community called The Journey of Wholeness, where we talk about principles to help empower and transform your life along your journey of wholeness. You can find out more details at thejourneyofwholeness.com.